talking this morning here on a one-time message here on, I'm talking on a whole series now about Ready, Set, Grow, that God's got us in a position, I believe, to grow in the things of the Lord. But I want to kind of divert this morning and, of course, honor our mothers, but also give some principles that will help out not just mothers, but also help out the singles that are here, help out the men that are here, because anything you're going to find in the Word of God is actually transgender for male and female both. Amen. God's going to bless all of us today with His Word. But I'm going to call this message this morning, How Mothers Grow, from Proverbs chapter 31, some final verses in this chapter as well. I heard a story this week here about how a young man was going into an HEB grocery store. I don't think he's from our church here, but he's in the grocery store, going up and down the aisles, buying a few items. He noticed there was an elderly lady behind him, kind of following around with her shopping cart. Everywhere that he would go, she would go. Every aisle he would turn onto, she would turn onto. When he stopped and looked at the produce, she would stop and look also at the same realm at the produce. And she was staring at him. He finally stopped and said, "Ma'am, can I help you? I kind of know you've been kind of close to me here, following me around, and you're kind of watching me pretty close here." She goes, "Can I help you out?" She goes, "Well, young man, I apologize, but you look so much like my son, who's now off in the service. I just want to be close to someone, near someone that looks like my son, like you do. Would you mind if I follow you around here a little bit more in the grocery store?" He goes, "Well, sure, I'm about ready to check out." So he goes to the front to check out. She cuts in front of him, and she takes and gets all of her items there. And she says to him, as she's getting her items checked out, she goes, "Son, do me one more favor." He goes, "Well, what is that?" She goes, "As I'm leaving here, would you say goodbye, Mother? Have a good Mother's Day." She goes, "Okay, I'll do that." So she checks out all of her groceries she's leaving out there. And as she's about to take off and go, she says, "Goodbye, Mother. Have a good Mother's Day." And she smiles and waves, goes out the door. They ring up his items, just a few 10 or 15 items there. He said, "Okay, sir, that'll be $179.98. And she goes, "Well, what's going on with that?" He goes, "I didn't buy that much stuff." She goes, "Well, your mother said you could be glad to pay for her groceries as well." So that was not what you call a mother that's a good, kind mother, amen. This is a little shyster, so think about that. And this mother needs to learn how to grow, amen, grow in the things of the Lord. Where did Mother's Day actually even come from? Historically, why do we even have Mother's Day? Well, a woman whose name was Miss Ann Jarvis of Philadelphia, she campaigned for a holiday over 80 years ago to honor mothers every year in America, and even around the world as well. Praise God that she got her way. I believe it's very, very important to honor our mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but also even throughout the entire year, because they really are worth the honor that they receive. Amen? The end of Proverbs chapter 31 gives us some valuable keys to continue to grow as mothers, as people of God, in very, very biblically sound, scriptural ways as well. You might say, "Well, how come there's no Proverbs 32 man? There's only a Proverbs 31 woman talked about there, but what about the men as well?" Well, God gives us our instructions throughout the entire Word of God as well. Amen. But God focuses there very strongly through Solomon upon his own mother, whose name was Bathsheba. And we all know that Bathsheba had kind of a shady past, where her beginnings were with David in adultery, getting caught there, and the son dies, and her husband gets killed and gets murdered. But God shows us redemptively how He can take a person who goes through a time of turmoil, a time of carnality, and a time even of backsliding perhaps, turn their lives around and birth a Solomon themselves that writes a book like Proverbs chapter 31 that blesses so many even thousands of years later down the road. Proverbs 31 gives us some valuable keys here to continuing to grow as a woman of God, even a man of God, and put these things also into practice. So this morning, if you want to write some things down, I'm going to give you again some take-home points today. I want to give you some keys here from Proverbs 31, starting in verse 27, about how we can continue to grow as mothers, grandmothers, people of God in God's kingdom on the earth. First way mothers can grow, number one, is by understanding true security. Understanding what is true spiritual security. I heard the Spirit of God say to us in this service how He wants us to be people not of temporal security upon temporal things around us, but upon things that are eternal, upon things of the rock foundation that are found by God's Spirit, that are found by God's Word, and found to be lasting not just in this life, but also in the life to come, even to build on future generations. Proverbs 31, verse 27 says, the Proverbs 31 woman, the mother of God, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A triumphant mother knows how true security comes from being busy, investing in a loving family, investing in things like the lives of people around her, but also investing in serving the God that she serves and loves so much, and being a godly example to her. That's what loving mothers will do. That's what serving mothers will do. That's what mothers understand true security is all about. They don't just focus on things, again, that are in their own lives, in their own interests. They focus out on things around them also, in their lives, in their hearts. Fathers, I've heard fathers make kids functional, but mothers make children likable. Amen? They found in research that Spain's had over 69 kings in their past history. Of those 69 kings, only three were likable of the 69. Guess what? Those three were primarily raised and taught and trained and poured into by the mothers, not just their fathers. The other 66 were totally controlled, trained, and poured into by their fathers only. But those three likable ones had their mother's influence that brought them a well-rounded lifestyle and persona that caused the folks of Spain to like them even throughout history in their lives. I thought about three mothers in the Bible who relied upon temporal security and how their lives did not end up really in a very good way. Those three mothers' names were the wife of Lot, Orpah, the sister-in-law of Ruth, and also the person whose name was Michal, the daughter of Saul, and also one of the wives of King David. The Bible tells us that Lot's wife lived in a place that was called Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, Lot himself led her there because Lot saw there was a great plain, there was fertile ground, there was a lush-looking city, looked like there was a good school, so forth and so on. So he did not ascertain the spiritual climate of Sodom and Gomorrah. He only cared about what his own fleshly eyes could see and touch and feel in the place called Sodom and the place called Gomorrah. And so I'm sure as time goes by, they bought a nice house, they had a nice plot of land to live in, had a nice garden going on there. And so Lot's wife, like many women, loved to have a place to nest and be secure in that place. And most women don't like to move around a whole lot. Amen? But God tells him, I'm going to destroy this city because of the wickedness. I cannot even find 10 righteous people in this city, so I cannot spare this land. And so by God's grace and God's mercy, he sends angels to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. They lead Lot and his wife and his daughters out there. There's the daughters' husbands will not leave the place at all. And the Bible says, though, going out of the city, because Lot's wife was so attached emotionally to her house, to her own place she lived at, to her own city, she could not help but look back at the city, and the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, nowhere in the Bible do I find they give a name to Lot's wife. I think her name was probably Morton. Think about that. First salt shaker, amen. But she was turned into a pillar of salt. That is not a good way to end your life, amen. How many mothers do you want to be a pillar of salt at the end of your life? Nobody. That's not a good way to end. And end prematurely there. She had a good future ahead of her, I believe, but she unfortunately had a bad ending to her life. Orpah, the daughter, the sister-in-law of Ruth, the Bible says whenever all the seed bearers died, Orpah's husband dies, Ruth's husband dies, Naomi's husband dies as well. It says there that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law Naomi goodbye and went back to her old land, back to her people, and back to her gods once again. That shows us that there can be security in a false realm sometimes for our own old family, our own old culture, our own old pre-Christian existence when things go rough and things are not looking secure in our lives. The sad thing is the Bible never mentions Orpah's name again, and she had no good ending to her life going back to her old gods or old family or old people once again. That is not what God's best was for her life. Then we see Michal also. The Bible says Michal was Saul's daughter. And the Bible says whenever David came back with the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing before the Lord. He had his linen ephod on. He was twirling around, making a display about how much he loved God, glorified God, honored the Lord. And the Bible says Michal saw him out of her window and despised David in her heart. And actually rebukes David later on and says to David, how you have come across as totally unseemly and embarrassed yourself in front of all these maidens and all my friends and all my buds here. You totally embarrassed me in front of all the people of Israel by your own leaping, dancing, and praising God in this unseemly type, undressed manner in your life. Well, the Bible says because Michal did this and almost cursed David in her heart, she was struck by God with barrenness and never had a child of her own upon the earth. These are three things that all women don't want to have take place in their lives: turning into salt, backsliding, or becoming barren inside your own body and your own life and your own spiritual life as well, because spiritual barrenness also takes place sometimes in people's lives. The sad fact here was all three of these ladies here, Lot's wife, Morton, Orpah, and Michael, all had husbands. If they would have followed their husband's advice and followed their husband's leading, they would not have gone through the curse they went through in their lives. Amen. These were godly men, even though Lot was a bit of a dicey type situation there again. They were found themselves righteous in God's sight in their hour. They were men to be followed, not to be taken and resisted there by their wives. And their wives had no good ending to their lives because of not following their own husband's example. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 verifies this also. Titus 2, 3 says, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they should live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what actually is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Let me get a drink here as well. God is asking us here and telling us here, women, take and be examples of your older to the younger ladies. You also have husbands at home. Try and have godly husbands that can give you some advice on ways to live and have character that's going to be a blessing, not a curse, to your entire family as your lives go by upon the earth. So this first key point this morning here is, by understanding true security, mothers will grow in the things of the Lord. Number two, by receiving also appreciation, mothers will grow and become more and more like God is in their lives. Verse 28 verifies this. It says, her children rise up, and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, what God is sharing to us that are husbands, that are children, that are sons and daughters of mothers, he's saying that your words make a difference in the life of your mothers and grandmothers on the earth. Amen? God is telling us that actually a ministry that takes place that will cause them to grow, develop, blossom, and become everything that God wants them to become easier if we do things to compliment them, praise them, tell them how good they're doing things in life, and not try to find ways to belittle them, embarrass them, or tear them down, but find ways to build them up in the Word of God, in what is true in their own lives as well, and use our mouths for life and not death for our mothers and grandmothers in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Jesus Christ also loved the church and then gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And the desire again for us to be like sometimes as mothers, what God is saying to us is, again, we want to hear compliments. We want to hear our children say good things back to us. We don't want to hear our kids revile us or curse us. So sometimes mothers can be tempted there to compromise and try to become a people-pleasing type mother and not use the word perhaps no enough, not use the spankings often enough perhaps, not bring forth sometimes divine disciplines that are actually going to be good for our kids for a season. You might be amazed to know that I think all three of our kids being raised in our household at some point told their mother they hate her. Isn't that just gasp right now? Just gasp. Your kids don't do that ever. Amen. Now, why would they say things like that? Because they're getting grounded. They're going to lose a privilege. They got caught doing something naughty and did not like their little five-year-old discipline. Okay. I hate you, Mom. Oh, okay. You can have your way now, little Johnny and Susie. Whatever you want is all yours. Don't hate me. Oh. What we're trying to say to you guys is, again, we cannot take and sometimes become people-pleasing mothers and let those words that sometimes can cut us or hurt us make us compromise on the boundaries we have set in our household as women of God. Amen? So God says, yes, receive appreciation. Yes, parents or fathers, train your kids to show appreciation to your mothers. But mothers, don't let your children's words control you also in your life. Instill values, instill disciplines, instill delayed gratification for your children, and also instill manners for your children, amen? But all of that, again, don't let their words control your life, because women do need, they do want appreciation, they do want affirmation, they do want confirmation, But you aren't always going to get that all the time when you do things sometimes to rattle the cage of your children's lives or sometimes even your husband's life. And so be aware of that also in your life. There's always something, mothers, to feel guilty about concerning your children. Always something. Amen? Your kids will sometimes make bad grades. They'll sometimes be late to school, late to their job. They'll lose a girlfriend, lose a boyfriend, go through some depressing times in life. You can always have guilt take place in your life somehow by things your children have or have, do not have in their lives. Don't let that guilt, let your children control you from that guilt at all. But be aware that God wants you to be a person who sticks to your values, your boundaries, and it's the person who says, I will do what God wants me to do for this life, what is in this family, what's best for them, not just for me. Men also need to realize, be prodded, to sometimes remember the emotional and romantic needs that a woman has in your family. Amen? Men need to be told that once you have that marriage take place, once you say, I do, that does not mean, again, you've conquered that lady, and it's time to go ahead and back off on the romance and the emotional needs being met in their lives. We men need to be prodded once in a while, reminded they need the flowers, need the cars, need the affirmation, need the dates, need to be wooed, need to have romance take place and spontaneity in their lives take place sometimes. Amen, ladies? You want that? Better say amen. Don't say, or you'll be saying, oh me, as time goes by. Amen? So if you have a if you don't have a husband today, if you're a single lady here today, or a lady who's lost your husband through divorce or through death, realize also that God has got ways to minister to your life as well in the absence of a man, a physical man, in your life. I want to emphasize that again. God has ways by His Spirit, by His Word, by His own creativity to fill that vacuum and void in that a man, you think, only can fill as only God can do. Now, on Friday again, I put this thing together for this Sunday morning's message. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Father God, can you show me in the Bible proof you can meet the needs of a single woman's life who has no man that she's married to in her life. In 5 seconds, the Holy Spirit answered back to me and gave me Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 30 to prove that God can do this. This is where God's talking to Mary before she marries Joseph, about to get pregnant with Jesus. Gabriel the angel comes as God's mouthpiece and messenger, and Gabriel speaks the words of God to Mary and says these words, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And it says, and he came to her, Gabriel, and he said, Hail, O favored one. I'm going to read here the Amplified version, Cheryl's version this morning, so you get all the words in this. Oh, it says, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed. Favored of God, are you before all other women on the earth? But then it goes on here and proves that what Gunger said to us in this teaching about women's brains really is true. It's in the Bible. It's true. Notice what it says next of all, verse 29. But when Mary saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and she kept revolving in her mind. Right there, revolving in her mind what such a greeting might actually mean. That proves the Bible. That's how women's brains work. Her mind's revolving, going around here about her mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, and her future husband, so forth, so on, her neighbors, all this. What might this greeting mean? So God, by His grace, keeps right on talking and says, And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Now you're saying, that's not what God says to me. What I'm trying to say to you guys is, if God spoke to Mary like that in her singleness, God can also speak to you today in your life, in your singleness, in the way that only God can do. Amen? God knows what you need to hear for romance, for love, and fulfillment in your life. He says, call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, not just salvation from hell, but also salvation sometimes from depression, from loneliness, from pity parties. God can save us to the uttermost in our lives. Amen? So I encourage you single ladies here, if you ever get depressed, feeling lonely, rejected, whatever else, call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, God the Father, I just need to hear what you say about me in your word, in my spirit. And I know God can talk back into your life and bring you comfort and strength and affirmation that He loves you as you are today. Amen? Number three, how do women grow? By avoiding meaningless comparisons in their lives. Meaningless comparisons. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Now, how did Bathsheba, Proverbs 31 woman, how does she excel all folks around her? What she did is she did not compare herself to people around her. She took her giftings, her callings, her abilities, her talents, and used them for the glory of God in her generation. The same thing is true for you guys as well. God's given you giftings, talents, and abilities, and God says, use what you've got yourself to the best of your ability. Let God breathe on that. Let God bring you divine contentment, not to compare yourself with other folks around you at all. It's very, very hard today living in an image-driven civilization where we see perfect models with perfect faces and perfect teeth and perfect hair and perfect bodies all the time. You know, one of my daughters, I think it was Kristen, told me they have an app out right now or a YouTube video or something that shows what our celebrity females would look like if they had not received the liposuction, plastic surgery, and procedures they've received now over the past few decades in their lives. They look like you and me. Amen? So God is saying to us again, realize what God's Word says. My beauty that I see on women's lives is not from outward beauty only, but is from an inward, peaceful, loving heart that comes by being controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a few years back, I was in a place called Kenya, Africa, and I've been there several times, and I saw a lady there whose name is Jennifer Hatley, David Hatley's wife. She's now probably in her mid-60s. She's been a missionary now in Kenya for the past 30 years of her life. Jennifer Hatley would never be seen on the cover of Vogue magazine. She's never going to win any kind of beauty contest whatsoever. But she is totally herself. She loves people unconditionally, lets her hair come down at the house. She just kind of lays there and just visit with folks around her, loves all folks unconditionally. She ministers to orphans, to folks that are down and out, that are poor, and those that are rich the same way. She has no airs about her whatsoever. I see her as a Proverbs 31 woman who sees her, who goes out there and does things God's way, Christ's way, not her own ego's way. And through that, she has a peace and a joy about her that I've seen passes all understanding. I believe God wants women free of comparison in this image-driven generation around us in America today. Amen? God says He loves you as you are. Do what you can do with your own life, your own body, so forth. God doesn't care about things like that. But what God is saying to you, let your heart be focused on most. Not just your outward man, but your inward man. That's where God finds true beauty takes place in the lives of people. I've seen a whole lot of ugly, beautiful women on the face of the earth. Amen? Because they're ugly on the inside, they're ugly on the outside as well, it seems like. Number four, women grow by resisting spiritual compromise in their lives. Verse 30 goes on and says, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, or beauty actually is fleeting, it says also in one version. But a woman who fears, has respect for the Lord, she shall be praised. What it's saying here is identify the values, the standards of righteousness that you're going to walk in. Know your boundaries you have in your life. And realize again that God wants you to have godly, righteous living conditions and boundaries and not be compromising things of the flesh as time goes by. Don't compromise your walk with the Lord. Remember back in the Old Testament where it talks about a woman whose name was Rachel? Rachel was the one the Bible said had beautiful eyes. She was fair complected. She was beautiful. She was actually the sister of Leah. The Bible says Leah was not loved by Jacob, but Rachel was because of her beauty. And the fact was, because Jacob deceived his own dad, he got deceived himself on his own wedding day. There's Leah and not Rachel in bed with him. He had to work for 7 more years to get Rachel. He finally gets her for a wife. But the sad thing was, Rachel was a woman who lived a life of compromise. It was Rachel who had the gods of her own father hidden under her saddle. As he goes out there to try and chase him down, they leave his house that one day. Foreign demon gods being hidden in her tent for divine security. The Bible also says Rachel believed in concubines, believed in polygamy. And at the end of her life, Rachel only had 2 sons to show for her whole life on the earth. Their names were Joseph. Their name also was Benjamin. And in Rachel giving birth to Benjamin, she's in so much pain and agony. She's dying giving birth to him. She says, call this young man's name, name him Ben-Oni, which means the son of my trouble. Now praise God, Joseph shows up and says, no, his name's not going to be Ben-Oni, it's going to be Benjamin, the son of my right hand. He changed his name. But the fact was, Rachel dies and on her deathbed is saying, my life is going to end only in trouble because I lived a life of compromise upon the earth. I encourage all mothers, single mothers, men as well in this congregation today, don't be compromising God's standards, God's values, what God's placed inside your life in this hour, these last days upon this earth. Amen. Live a life sold out to God. Be a godly example. And bless those around you with what God sets you stands for in your life as well. God wants mothers, I believe, like Deborah in Judges chapter 4. In Judges 4, Deborah says, if you won't lead this to a man of God for God's glory, the glory will then go to a woman in the battle that you're facing this day. The Bible says Deborah led the men in battle, won the battle that day. She said, I will not compromise what God's placed in my heart. The enemies are under my feet, and they shall be defeated by God and God's armies. I will not bow down even to a man who's sniffling in the dirt and will not be brave enough to fight this battle this day. Praise God, a woman of God like Deborah was in that era hundreds of years ago. God's got Deborahs right here at Tree of Life Church also today. I'm telling our women today in this congregation, though your husband falls into sin, he might get involved in depression. He might get involved in backsliding, alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography. I'm saying don't throw your lot in with him in an ungodly manner. Amen. You stand your ground in a righteous and submissive and loving way. And say, as for me and my house, we will still serve the Lord in my life. Some ladies, sometimes they get married to ungodly men and then they get saved after marriage. They're now married to a person they're unequally yoked to. And so it brings in some great controversy inside the household. But I'm saying, ladies, again, be nice, be submissive, be kind, be loving, but don't compromise your faith in Jesus Christ for a backslidden husband or a backslidden boyfriend as well. Amen? And I'm saying, ladies that are single here today, always, always, always put God first in your choosing for a future mate wherever you go at in this life on this earth. Amen. May God be the first thing you look for in that person's life that you're going to date, get engaged to, get married to perhaps in the future to raise your children one day down the road. Amen. Know that no good thing does God withhold, the Bible says, from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does God withhold. Last of all, number five, we grow in God by taking time for ourselves, women of God, mothers of God, grandmothers. Verse 31 finally says, give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Because a woman's heart is to be a giver many times, they can also find themselves being martyrs sometimes also for their families. Driving here, working there, calling this person, counseling that person, going to sometimes even perhaps too many church services sometimes, not here of course, we don't do that here, but I'm saying Baptist churches do that. And so I'm saying let's find a divine balance, women of God, and not be a martyr for Jesus on the earth, but take time to renew your own batteries, recharge your own batteries in your life. Amen. I make sure that Cheryl and I have at least one night a week to go on a little date together. We take some vacation sometimes together and get some alone time. It's sometimes it's time to get your nails done, take bubble baths, candles roaring, whatever else around you. Read a novel that's a godly type novel that's righteous, amen. Just got to get involved in a novel or some kind of a chick flick love story. Let your man go upstairs and watch football or something at the same time sometimes. Do some things that are not involving your children sometimes. Just you, your husband, or even you sometimes by yourself. Recharge your batteries when you can. Amen. You women need some time to be alone or with a man that's your husband and get away from those kids, your duties, responsibilities there, and say, let this pressure go off my back. And Father God, just recharge my batteries in Jesus' name. Take time for yourselves. You need that. Women, mothers, grandmothers, single women as well. You need time for yourself. Amen. So, is James back to the platform now again to be able to just kind of play something softly here? I want to pray here in a moment. I want to let you guys also be released here to meet all the folks at restaurants and so forth who may need that in some practical realms. But I want to cover three important things at the very end of this service to pray about for mothers this morning. I found that many women in counseling sessions, not just that I would give myself, but the folks that are actually counseling thousands of women behind the scenes across this nation today, they found there's three common threads women are battling today inside their own emotions, their own minds, their own hearts, their own lives. And those three things, number one, many women are saying, I don't like myself. I don't like myself. Do not let the devil or mankind or our culture even beat you over the head and say that you're less than what God has made you to be. You are everything that God wants you to be when your heart is sold out to Jesus Christ. You're nothing more, nothing less. You're loved by God, beloved by God. You're loved by God's people. You're loved by God's children. I love these three mothers coming to the front here this morning here, all with even having tears in their eyes. You know, there's like an old Rolling Stones song, makes a grown man cry. I almost was crying myself. I could just sense that being touched there, being honored there, because they know themselves what they've done behind the scenes to bless their husbands, their children, their grandchildren. Sometimes churches like this, congregations, nursery children, Sunday school children, they know what they've done. And they have reason to cry, reason to be proud of themselves for what they've done inside their lives. But I'm saying, don't let the devil beat you over the head that you don't like yourself. You need to be liking yourself because God likes you. And God does not make junk. God finds no ugliness in you whatsoever. God sees you as beautiful, precious, righteous, redeemed, full of His own image and likeness. The second thing they also say is, women are saying, I have no meaningful relationships outside my house. No close friends outside my home. I encourage you ladies, make it a point to get a close friend. Don't have one outside your house, outside your own family, your children, your own husband and loved ones inside the house. You need relationships for sounding boards, for venting, for advice, for counsel, for reciprocity in relationships as well. So I'm saying, ladies, don't become an island to yourself by your busyness, by your own family, by your own grandkids. Make friends outside your family. God will bless you with that also as well in your life. Amen. And God will bless them also that you are a friend of. Last of all, they find women are saying things like, I am not even close to the man I live with today. You guys need to cultivate again those dates, that romance, that time alone together. Don't find yourself saying, I'm not even close now to the man I married years ago. God wants that relationship to be a vibrant, thriving, increasing in love relationship between man and woman. Amen. In marriage. If it's not there, that flame's kind of going down. May God rekindle that flame by His power, grace, and His Spirit, and by divine wisdom and practical teachings, books, CDs, seminars at Tree of Life Church perhaps as well. But let God be God and use all things around you to rekindle that flame once again. If you can say any one of these things this morning, women of God, I'm saying that God's Spirit's here today. Let you know that He loves you. He sees you as beautiful. He has friends outside your own family for you. He wants your marriage to be vibrant, lively, exciting, full of joy, full of laughter, and full of life-giving things as only God can bring. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now and pray. This Mother's Day is a day for us not just to honor mothers, but also to minister to all women, all single ladies, even the men of God that are here also today that might be hearing something that God is saying that you might be able to sharpen perhaps or focus on to be a greater blessing to your wife, to your own mother, your own grandmother, in a way that is godly and righteous and life-giving beyond this service this morning. So, Father God, I praise You, Lord, this day that we're talking today about the Proverbs 31 woman. You gave us, Lord, a godly example to follow from Your Word and by Your Spirit. I pray right now, Father God, for every woman of God in this place today, those who may be saying, I'm having a hard time loving myself. I've been beaten down by my own children, my own husband, my boyfriends, those that I respected in times past. And Father God, I need to see myself the way that You see me, O God, not the way that man has seen me in the past. Father, right now, as women here, as heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, they're praying for themselves. I say, Holy Spirit, minister, God, Your life, Your peace, Your grace upon these women. Let them know, Father God, they are beloved. They are those that are dear to Your heart. They are those, oh God, that are precious in Your sight. And I say every lie of Satan, God, be bound, be broken, be shattered, Father, in their minds and their hearts. That says they're anything less than what God says they are. And that is precious. And that is righteous. And that is lovely. And that is beautiful. And that is desired. And that also is valuable. And I praise You, God, for that. Now, Father, also, those mothers that are here who are saying, I don't have any friends outside my family, any close friends, relationships, have all been cut off as the years have gone by. I pray, Father God, give them
Relationships that are divinely reciprocal, that has love flowing both ways, phone calls going both ways, cards and letters, emails and texts going both ways in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father God, for friendships being established right here at the Tree of Life Church. For women of God, single and married, that are going to find themselves being in a life-giving relationship in greater dynamic. Last of all, I pray, Father God, this day, touch those who are going through marriages, that are going through rocky times, that are going through lifeless times, that seem to be caught in a rut in some way. I pray, Father God, you'd break down the barriers. Give, oh God, these men of God, these fathers, these husbands, the wisdom, the insight, the divine kick in the pants sometimes even, Father, to say, I need to wake up and let my wife smell the roses. Let my wife have time for herself, have time to be honored, time to be blessed, time to speak words of affirmation and words of compliments and words of love. And Father, I praise you, God, you knit hearts together in stronger bonds for husbands and wives, those that are dating and those engaged, oh God, in this place. Use them, oh God, as a blessing together, even more so than by themselves. And I praise you, Father God, that you're a good God, a redemptive God that does all these things well. In Jesus' name.